This is DW News from Berlin. Donald Trump votes early in the US presidential election.
I voted for a guy named Trump.
With the last days of the campaign set to be dominated by America's worsening COVID crisis, we'll see how Trump and rival Joe Biden are confronting the issue. Also coming up. Children in Mali head back to school after months of COVID-induced closures, but the pandemic is still threatening to cost millions of children in the region a chance at an education. Also coming up, the mother of all German derbies. In the Bundesliga, that is. With COVID-restricted crowds. It was small but still intense when Dortmund did battle with local arch-rival Schalke in the Ruhr Derby. I'm Anthony Howard. Thanks for joining us. There are just 10 days left before the US election, but President Donald Trump has already voted. He joins tens of millions of Americans who have also cast their ballots before Tuesday's election. The surge in early voting in the US is being fueled by concerns about coronavirus and Trump's handling of the pandemic.
U.S. President Donald Trump returned to his adopted home state of Florida to cast his ballot and doubts about the security of mail-in voting.
Very secure vote, much more secure than when you send in a ballot, I can tell you that. Everything was perfect, very strict, right by the rules. When you send in your ballot, could never be like that, could never be secure like that. They've done a fantastic job over here, great people inside. I voted for a guy named Trump.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Trump has spent much of the campaign sowing seeds of uncertainty, claiming voter fraud might rob him of victory. Early voting in the United States is shattering records. More than 53 million people have already cast their ballots ahead of the November 3rd election. Many woke up early in the president's former home state of New York to make sure their choice is counted.
Well, I should have been here even earlier, but this is one of the most important elections of my lifetime, of many people's lives now, so, because our democracy is, you know, in question. If anyone
has... I just wanted to make sure my vote was counted. There's so many concerns about whether, you know, if you submit an absentee ballot, whether it's actually going to be counted in the mail.
Record turnout is also the result of COVID-19 concerns. Cases and hospitalizations are on the rise. 85,000 new cases were reported Saturday. The campaign trail to the White House brought Democratic challenger Joe Biden to his former home state of Pennsylvania, where he accused Trump of mishandling the pandemic.
We have 10 days left. It may come down to Pennsylvania. And I believe in you. I believe in my state. The choice has never been clearer and the stakes have never been higher. Experts tell us we're going to lose nearly another 200,000 lives nationwide in the next several months. All because this president cares more about the stock market than he does you.
Biden is leading in nationwide polls and in most battleground states. But President Trump is determined to hold as many rallies as he can to pull off another surprise presidential win.
10 days from now, can you believe it? 10 days, it seemed like...
Well, here in Germany, the number of people who have died from COVID-19 has now surpassed 10,000. This follows a sharp spike in the number of new cases in recent weeks, with a record 14,000 new infections reported in just the past 24 hours. Chancellor Merkel is once more calling for solidarity in the face of the crisis, urging Germans to act responsibly.
Masks are now required outside in some crowded pedestrian zones of Berlin. But not all people here are abiding by the new rules. A few kilometres away, German Chancellor Angela Merkel expressed concern about the sharp rise in new coronavirus infections. In her weekly podcast, she made it clear that citizens played a key role in containing the spread of the virus. The order of the day is to reduce contacts and meet with as few people as possible. If we all make an effort, we can meet the huge challenge this virus poses. It was an unusual address. After just over a minute, the Chancellor's message shifted to repeat the one from a week earlier. She said every word of it was still relevant. I ask you to refrain from all travel, unless it is absolutely essential. Please refrain from all celebrations unless it is absolutely essential. Please stay at home whenever possible. The business-friendly Free Democrats contend there are too many restrictions and Merkel is practically demanding a second lockdown. They want to focus on protecting risk groups such as the elderly and the sick. We can do that with rapid tests. We can do that with N95 masks by making them available for free. It's very important to protect these vulnerable groups, but not lock them up. The Socialist Left Party finds Merkel's warnings reasonable, but they want a weekly debate in Parliament about the consequences of the restrictions. What are the unforeseen adverse effects on society, above all the socially weak, children, families and single parents? That belongs in the Bundestag and it cannot be dealt with in a weekly podcast. These concerns could be part of a parliamentary debate in the coming week. Merkel is due to make a statement on Thursday.
Angela Merkel there asking people to be responsible. OK, I'm joined now by DW reporter Nicole Riz. Hey, Nicole. You've been following the situation. Germany had been doing relatively well in the crisis, yet now the numbers are soaring. Why?
Well, basically, we've also seen that the numbers are slowly going up already since July, but back then it was 700, 800 cases a day. Now we're almost facing 15,000. That's a lot to take in. And there you also see the reason why Angela Merkel has been time and again reminding people to stick to the rules and that they have the power to actually influence that. But these numbers pretty much reflect that they didn't take the chance, you know. Probably many Germans are coming out of a rather relaxed summer. They were able to travel again after a very hard time. They were able to gather again and they were able to party again, to go to restaurants, etc. But now we're reaching autumn and things are pretty much happening also inside, which is perfect for the virus to spread, we have learned already. And this is happening as they have this rather relaxed attitude and this is why the numbers probably are going up. And on top of that, we have also have regions in Germany that decide on domestic travel bans that are being overturned within days. Or here in Berlin, we had a curfew for bars and restaurants, which then saw some exemptions already. And this is not setting a really good example for people to, you know, stick to rules and be confident about what they're doing or, like, avoiding a fatigue that probably each one of us has suffered at some point during this very long crisis.
Yeah, it's been a flashpoint between federal and state power here in Germany, but it's also across borders. It's now the same situation in other countries in Europe.
Yes, because people are in the same situation. I mean, we have a new hotspot across Europe almost every day. One day it's the Czech Republic. We saw France struggling again. Spain, still one of the most affected countries. They just reached 1 million infections this week, the first Western country in Europe that has that since the pandemic started. And they're looking into declaring the state of emergency again, maybe tomorrow. They want to have a cabinet meeting. Pedro Sanchez, the prime minister, already said that they are probably looking at triple the number of cases like that they're facing officially. So he's already pointing at the hidden figures. And so regions want to make sure that they have the legal powers to implement new restrictions in their parts of the country. Let's remember, Spain had one of the toughest lockdowns in Europe. Nobody was really able to move for months. That might not happen again, but they're trying to avoid it by maybe declaring that state of emergency tomorrow. And let's face it, I think pretty many countries in Europe are in the same situation. They're trying to avoid national harsh lockdowns and trying to find the solution in between to not have to go back, really, to spring again when we're in autumn.
Nicole, thanks so much. OK, here's a look at some of the other developments in the global health emergency. And France has reached a new record of daily infections with more than 45,000 cases reported on Saturday. Health Ministry data also showed an additional 138 deaths in the last 24 hours. Poland's President Andrzej Duda has tested positive for COVID-19 and is in quarantine. But in a video message on Twitter, Duda said he has no symptoms. And Japan's government is asking businesses to extend their New Year holidays until mid-January. That's to let workers travel off-peak to their hometowns and holiday destinations. Now to some of the other stories making news around the world. The death toll in a suicide bombing in Afghanistan's capital Kabul has risen to at least 18 people, with dozens of others wounded. The Interior Ministry says the blast struck an educational centre in a western district of the city. The Islamic State militant group has claimed responsibility for the attack. France has recalled its ambassador to Turkey for consultations after Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan accused the French president of requiring mental health treatment. His comments were made in response to an earlier statement from President Emmanuel Macron about the problems created by radical Muslims in France, whom he claimed practiced Islamist separatism. Well, to Mali now, where millions of children are heading back to school after missing up to 4 months of classes. But even as schools begin to reopen across the region, many of them lack the resources to mitigate the risk of COVID-19. And many fear the pandemic may cost countless children the chance at an education.
A little hand disinfectant, and then lessons begin at this elementary school in Mali. Social distancing is important, but with so many students, it's impossible. After months without lessons, the children are excited to finally be back in school. I really miss school, and I've forgotten quite a bit. Hygiene remains crucial, but the coronavirus has left the children of the Sahel region far behind. Not all of them were able to learn during the months of school closures, and not all have returned to school.
They started helping the parents at home, so then afterwards it becomes more difficult for the parents to allow them to go back to school. Or, especially girls who were living in the villages, were sent to the city to work as a house help.
To make matters worse, there are ongoing conflicts in the country. Armed groups often attack civilians, displacing many families. They then have to find shelter in camps or makeshift living quarters, like here in Mali's capital, Bamako. We fled here to avoid being killed. Now I can't go to school. First, we have to focus on surviving. A good education for a better future. For many children here, it's just a challenge to be able to go to school at all.
In one of the most anticipated Bundesliga games of the season, Dortmund locked horns with Schalke in the Ruhr Derby on Saturday night. Dortmund are flying high near the top of the league, while the visitors had just 1 point from their first four games, going into what Germans call the mother of all derbies.
The pandemic meant Signal Iduna Park was unusually under capacity, but derby tension was still clearly in the air for the few diehards lucky enough to get tickets. The gap in quality between the two rivals has rarely been so stark, but Schalke held out until the 55th minute, when Manuel Akanji put Dortmund ahead after a slick corner kick routine, the defender showing a striker's instinct to pounce. After that, there was no holding back the black and yellow tide. Erling Haaland's delightful dink made it 2-0 6 minutes later. Another corner led to Dortmund's third on 78 minutes, Mats Hummels' header sealing a 3-0 win. Haaland and Dortmund took the plaudits from their socially distanced support at the end as they kept pace with champions Bayern. But new Schalke coach Manuel Baum doesn't have his troubles to seek, with his team still without a league win this season.
All Bundesliga champions Bayern Munich were again in rampant form as they routed visitors Eintracht Frankfurt. Not surprisingly, Robert Lewandowski was the main man in Munich. The Polish goal machine netted three times as Bayern won 5-0 to keep the pressure on league leaders RB Leipzig, who are just a point ahead. Of course, RB Leipzig are still at the top of the table because they were able to come back from an early deficit to beat Hertha Berlin 2-1. Leipzig's first goal of the game came from a free kick in the 11th minute. Dayo Upamecano hitting the target to level the score and get the comeback started. It was the France international's first goal for the Red Bulls in 2 years. You're watching DW News. Shift, living in the digital age, is up next here on DW. There's more news coming up in 45.